The next case is 02583, Columbus Bar Association versus Charles Smith. Ms. McQuaid, it's your motions, I think. I didn't have your listed. Ms. Sowald, Ms. McQuaid is arguing.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Heather Sowald. I'm here on behalf of the Columbus Bar Association. We are here today with regard to Charles Smith, who is present today. Previously, this court had issued an interim suspension and then later issued a full suspension indefinitely with regard to Mr. Smith and his failure to adequately represent his clients and do what he was paid to do. Since the time of that suspension, the Columbus Bar Association not only had received further complaints about his neglect of their cases, which we've not pursued any further since he has been suspended, but we also received two complaints that he was appearing as counsel after you had suspended him. As a result of that, we filed a motion in contempt with this court back in November of 2002. And we also submitted, along with our motion in contempt, affidavits from the two parties. One was Judge Beverly Pfeiffer in the Franklin County Common Pleas Court about an appearance he made there. And then there was also an affidavit from Bradley Frick, and also minutes of the meeting, the board meeting, where Charles Smith had appeared at the Columbus Vehicle for Hire Board on July 2nd, 2002. The other complaint, as I mentioned, by Judge Beverly Pfeiffer was August 15th of 2002. As a result of our motion, there was no response by Charles Smith, and this court has recently submitted to Charles Smith that he be ordered to appear and show cause why he should not be punished for his contempt, and that's why we're here today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Good morning, Your Honors. This matter kind of goes back actually some period of time. Back in 2000, I was private practicing. And during that time, I was doing a tremendous amount of trial work. And as a result of it, I had a couple of complaints that came forward that I actually addressed with the ladies that are sitting here. I began to feel, as a result of the stress that I was under, I was trying about 10 jury trials a year. I was doing pro bono work for numerous indigent clients that could not pay me. I often took cases maybe that I should not have and did not charge people to do that. I had three complaints, which, not to say any complaints are minor, but they were somewhat minor. And I went and I gave a deposition as to that, and I told them at the time that as a result of the stress that I had been under, that I'd actually started seeing a psychologist, that I felt that the three complaints, I addressed all of them. One of them had not sent in to me any kind of information as to what I owed as far as a personal injury case. When I did receive that, that was paid to them, to the doctors that were involved. After that, back in 2001, I began to actually experience some problems with my practice. I had different times that I would not go into the office. I was experiencing something I had never experienced before. I had even problems opening my mail. I didn't return calls to my clients. And as a result of that, I became concerned about it. It was actually after a period in which I had tried actually two back-to-back jury trials for some individuals. After that occurred, in June of 2001, my father got Alzheimer's. I had to go home numerous times he actually had a cancer operation. He also was hospitalized for a stomach ailment for about a week and a half. My brother and I always took turns in going home helping my mother. She's 78 years old. And there were actually weeks that I was out of the office. Many of those times, I was sleeping in the hospital with my father. And then in November of 2001, there's only me and my brother, my mother, and my father. My brother passed away unexpectedly. He was 50 years old. That was in late November. After that happened, it kind of pushed me over the edge. And I kind of realized that. As I said, I'd already sought some psychological help myself, but I could not get any medication because they weren't a psychiatrist or a doctor. I do have a letter from my doctor with me today. After that, in January, my secretary, who knew my wife, she actually called her and said she was concerned about me. I had been very successful. I would say during the time that I was practicing in Franklin County, I was probably the most successful trial lawyer that there was. I was trying probably more cases and winning more cases than anyone. I actually went 2 years without losing a trial. One of the things that I found through that process, though it took a tremendous amount of strain on me, I had a difficulty in sitting next to a client and separating myself from their stress, their belief that they may go to prison, and I usually would take that home with me. I was a prosecutor for 10 years. I never experienced that. As a prosecutor, I always tried to do the best that I could, but I always knew I was going home that night, my clients were going home that night. I noticed it was taking a toll on me. I realized that. When my secretary talked with my wife about it, for the first time, she didn't even realize that I wasn't going into the office hardly at all. She kind of realized something had changed, something was wrong. And one of the things that we faced, as you always face as an attorney, is the financial strain of going to get help, the financial strain of not having an income for your family.
Mr. Smith, let me interrupt you so that you don't use all your time without answering the question as to why you are here.
I'm going to really try and move along, it won't take me long from this point on. I actually sought help from Dr. Prezer in January of 2002. I explained to her the difficulties I was having as far as not being able to work, also not being able to open my mail. And I've brought numerous letters that you have sent me. And she began medication with me, and I've actually been on 3 or 4 different medications. When the initial order came out from this court to me, I had never looked at it. In fact, the first time that I ever knew about being suspended, even an interim suspension, was in July. And Doug Stead from the prosecutor's office informed me of that. That's the first I'd ever heard of it.
Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you about the transcript from the August 15th hearing in the Shanklin case, where the judge says, "Mr. Smith, you're certainly aware that there has been an interim remedial suspension." Mr. Smith, "Yes, Your Honor, I told him," I guess your client, "sometime in June.
Yes.
Indicated to him. So, and the order was put on May 23rd.
Yes.
And it seems to me you represented to the trial court that you knew in June that you had been suspended.
No, there was an order put on in June. When I went in that day to represent Mr. Shanklin, I did not go in to represent him. I went in to inform the court that he would be getting new counsel. I asked that if I could speak with Judge Pfeiffer behind chambers. She's the one that told me to come into the courtroom. I wasn't representing him that day. She told me to come into the courtroom, and then she addressed me as to the issues with Mr. Shanklin. After that, I have never come in and represented Mr. Shanklin. When I came up there that day, it was his pretrial hearing. I knew that I was suspended. I had told him that, and I wanted to make arrangements with the court to let them know that he was trying to obtain other counsel. I was outside the courtroom. She called me into the courtroom.
So no question, because your statement before my question, you misled me, I guess. I thought you were saying you didn't know that you'd been, because of your mail, you didn't open your mail or whatever, but you did know in June that you'd been suspended.
Right at the end of June or the beginning of July. I don't know exactly what day. That was actually one of the days when Doug Stead talked to me about it. And I was not representing him that day. When I came in, I knew I was suspended. That is true. And I told the judge that. I wouldn't told her at the time. Only reason I even appeared at counsel tables because she told me she wanted to make a record of it and to come in and appear at counsel's table. I had never come in at counsel table prior to that with Mr. Shanklin at any other time and represented to her or anyone else that I was representing him. She knew that. I was called into the courtroom, Your Honor. You can look at the record and see that.
The transcript has your colloquy, your discourse with the judge in which you said that.
As to that, and again, I did not come in and represent him that day. She knew that I knew I was suspended. She called me into the courtroom, and I addressed it, and he did get new counsel.
Mr. Smith, what are you doing now? What are you doing now?
What am I doing now?
Yeah.
Well, I've actually had, right now I'm selling meat, door to door is what I'm doing. Okay. And I've been doing that for about 3 months. I was also the executive assistant for a small healthcare company for a period of time, helped them expand into Cincinnati.
And your office is closed?
My office has been closed, Your Honor, for almost 2 years.
And you're not seeing any clients at home?
No, Your Honor, I'm not seeing anyone.
Are you still getting some medical attention?
Yes, Your Honor, I am. As to the Columbus matter, what happened is that we filed a preliminary injunction when I was licensed against the city of Columbus over their taxi driver requirements that people had to, they only gave out so many taxi licenses per year. We filed a preliminary injunction against them to file a stay. The city of Dublin, which we filed it against, also after that fact ended up, as a result of it, they abolished their laws as far as taxi drivers and what they had to require as far as the city of Dublin. There was no more requirements. One of the individuals that I had represented was picked up by the city of Columbus for operating a taxi without a license. That individual called me and asked me to come to the board and explain to them the procedure and what had happened. I came in and I represented to them and I gave them the lawsuit and also the discussions of what had happened with the city of Columbus. I did that as a result of what I had done before for this individual, and that's all I did that day. And I felt obligated to, he couldn't explain it to him. I came in and explained to them what had happened that day, what had happened with the city of Columbus and also with the city of Dublin. I brought them the lawsuit that was filed. I explained the procedures that had been gone through. And in fact, the board acquitted him based on that. And there was a stay that was filed. He wasn't a lawyer. I wasn't coming in as a lawyer. I was coming in to explain to them what I had done as a lawyer, and I brought them the paperwork to explain that to them.
Is Mr. Frick, Bradley Frick, who was the attorney, I guess, there at the same hearing, is his statement that Mr. Smith represented and spoke with and on behalf of Mr. Bengura, Mr. Smith argued some things vociferously with the panel and the two licensed officers to testify against. Is that not correct?
I'm not saying no. Yes, it did happen. I went in and explained to him what had occurred.
But you weren't there as his attorney, you're saying.
Between the city of Columbus and that individual. And if you see the paperwork on it that was filed, he filed the paperwork. I did not file it. I came in and I testified and I told him that, yes, I had represented him. And I explained fully what had occurred. And I did. I talked to him out in the hallway. And all I was doing was explaining to him, this is what had occurred with this individual. And sure, I did before the board because it was wrong for them to do what they were doing.
Mr. Smith, you say that you have evidence of medical treatment
Yes.
You have not filed that with the court, am I correct?
I have the letter with me today from my doctor.
So this is just something you brought in today?
Yes, it is something I brought in today.
For the purposes of this?
Yes.
Hearing.
This is the letter. Part of the problem that I've had is that I have not responded. I've had a panic disorder, two other diagnoses. This letter that you received, sent to me today, that I got on the 12th that I brought, it is the first letter that I have opened that has dealt with any court matter in almost a year and a half. And that has been part of my problem. And part of it has been as a result of what I have gone through. I've kind of stuck my head in the sand and I've tried to put this behind me. And actually it was as a result of two things. Back in June, one of the things, I've always been a strong Christian. I don't know if you want to hear this, but I have been. And I'd always been very involved in the church. And through this process, I kind of put that behind me. And my wife was very, very insistent that that was the key to resolve this thing. That even though I'd been taking medication, even though I had been involved with a doctor and counseling, that she really felt that that's really what I needed. And I went back to church in June.
Counsel, does the Columbus Bar Association and do we have your current correct address?
Yes, Your Honor, you do. For now, we're getting ready to sell our home.
Have you been, since this October incident, have you done anything that would cause someone to think you were representing them as a lawyer?
If they did, they're misunderstood, because no, I haven't. As I said, I worked about a year for a small health care company. I was the executive assistant for them. And any time that I've been involved with anything that they have done, I've made it very clear that I'm the executive assistant for the company. So if anyone has gotten that impression, that is not something that I have given them, and I have tried to make very clear that I have not represented them.
So you're working, or were working, and as an executive assistant for a small company.
Yes.
You've secured another job as a salesman.
Yes.
And
they laid me off back in right after Memorial Day. We actually opened an office in Cincinnati, and under Medicaid rules, you have to actually provide services for clients prior to getting your certification. And as a result of them encumbering the cost to have to add staff there, they wanted to lay me off for about 6 months and said they wanted to bring me back. I'm the one that helped them open the office. I mean,
all right, and the manifestations of your illness and your condition is that you can't open mail.
That has been any mail that has dealt with.
So if you see the return address from the Supreme Court of Ohio, you don't open it, but you open other mail.
That wasn't part of my duties at all with the small health care company that I worked with. I didn't open any mail there. But
how about at home?
No.
You don't open any mail?
No. Now, I will say to you that, as I said, for the first time I did open mail for this hearing, and I brought that with me. I've also brought the mail that has been sent to me that I have not opened, that is the most recent that has come to me. I don't know why that day. Well, actually, as I said, I actually went to the doctor with my wife in August, and she opened it with me. And we decided that today, that this has got to end. I've got to face up but to what has happened. But on the other end, what I am saying to you.
What's your perception of what has happened here? Discipline-wise, what's your obligation right now?
Well, first of all, I'll say that saying what Judge Pfeiffer said, that I went and represented a client, that is not true. And she know, that is not
all
true.
Let's get past that. Right now, what is your obligation?
My obligation is to answer any of the complaints that have been put against me and try and work back towards getting my license back, and I'll be frank, I don't know if that's really my interest anyway, But I still feel that that is my obligation. My obligation is to respond to any issues that, you bring to me. But the issue that I, as I understood that I came here on today, I feel I'm on solid ground that I didn't represent anybody in front of Judge Pfeiffer. She knew very well that I wasn't representing him. I was called into that courtroom to do it.
One other thing, I think I start reading your mail.
And I agree with you. And I know it sounds, believe me, I know it sounds, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I, you know, I can't say to you why. I don't know why. I don't know why. But I do believe now, the fact that I'm here, believe me, this was not an easy thing for me to do. My wife wanted to come with me today, and I told her I had to do this myself. I started out behind the Pioneer Meatpacking Plant next to the railroad tracks. I come from a family that has nothing. No one ever graduated from college in my family. No one's ever done what I've done in my life. No one. It's always been self-reliance on myself.
Are you aware that the Ohio Lawyers Assistance Program now has a program that deals with lawyers with mental illness?
No, not really.
I would recommend you contact OLAP because they do have a program that specifically deals with the issues you're dealing with.
And alcohol abuse. Okay. You've used your time, Mr. Smith. We've heard you. We understand your position.
Do you want any of this stuff?
No. You take it, open it, have somebody open it for you. But you probably wouldn't have been here if you'd responded in writing to our order to show cause.
And as I'm saying, I didn't even see it.
Okay. Ms. Sowald, you've saved 13 minutes for rebuttal.
Your Honors, we aren't here to talk about the underlying issue as to why there was the indefinite suspension, and I suspect if Mr. Smith ever reapplies, then those issues will come back up. We are here to talk about the motion in contempt and whether or not he was still practicing law after he had been suspended, and I think that the affidavits show that he was. We are asking that he be fined and that he do jail time. There is the other issue that he was to make his clients whole. There have been 17 complaints made about him. We've directed all of them to the Client Security Fund. To our knowledge, he's not made any of his clients whole. He would take the money from them. He was apparently available enough to take the money from them. And then he typically just failed to show up at court and do anything further and refused to refund monies to them. And there has been significant harm to the public and his clients as a result.
Is it your position that he represented a client before Judge Pfeiffer?
Yes, and also in the vehicle for hire board.
Thank you.
Very clearly. Thank you.
I assume you don't have any evidence of his practicing law other than the two instances.
Those happen to be the two people who knew about his suspension, and that's why it came to our attention.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised for our opinion. The marshal, please return to court.
All rise.